The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome back to Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Each and every day, it is my privilege to have a guest. And today, I have Erica Benfield. She is my guest today here on The Shepherd. Met Erica a couple of weeks back at the Faith and Freedom Coalition Conference. That's a big mouthful right there. That's where we met. And Erica is from Central Florida. She leads the Florida Living Quarters. We're going to hear all about what that company does and what she does in particular to that. There's like a wide range of things. It's like three businesses in one, the best I can tell about it. So Erica, welcome to my program.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here today. Thank you for having me.
It's really wonderful to have people in who are doing something for the glory of God and seeing their lives really be used by God to take the gospel and make it available for people. The gospel's going out, and we're living in strange times right now where people need, and whether they realize they want it or not yet, they need the gospel more than ever before, don't they?
They do, and I know that we've had record numbers even in our local church, so I know that there were a lot of people that connected through their faith over the last year, but I'm happy to use this platform to share my message and hopefully help those get closer to Jesus.
That's an incredible desire, and I say amen to that. Tell us a little bit about you, your background, where you came to know the Lord in the beginning. Were you raised in a church-going family?
Well, although my parents weren't pastors, I feel like I was raised by a pastor because my parents were very strict. They met through the church. Mm-hmm. So mom and dad were first dating in their church youth band in Puerto Rico. So even though they were next door neighbors, they actually were able to connect by serving through their church. And that church was in Puerto Rico. It's called Testigos de Jehová, Discípulos de Cristo, which in English means disciples of Christ. Mm-hmm. And then when I was a young child, while my mother was getting her master's degree, they would send me to Puerto Rico where I was forced to make sure I spoke both languages. And in that time, I realized how much of the universe, the church was for my grandparents. So they were both in the choir and my grandfather was in the finance team. So after church, we would go up to an area that there was no air conditioning, just the crank windows. And I would see them, tablet all the money, separate that, have fun while they were serving the Lord. And then stateside, when we first moved over, I was about 6 years old. It was not an easy transition for our family. So again, God always providing and connecting us with the right people. My first Christmas was actually sponsored by a church.
Is that right?
That's right.
Now, you know, getting this kind of an experience when you're young really does make a foundation in your life. When you grow up and you get to see the things that you just spoke about, your grandparents having fun while serving the Lord. Now, that statement right there is not held by everybody's experience. In fact, they seem like non-synchronous terms, having fun and serving the Lord. But you can actually, and people do, and I believe everyone should not only serve the Lord, but have fun while doing it.
That is correct. So it continued on when we became a little bit more established. We moved to Central Florida, and my parents, our family was one of 20 that helped start the largest Hispanic church in Central Florida called Center of the Christian Family. Not sure if you're familiar with them.
I am not.
Well, again, in their adult life, they played the saxophone and the trumpet. And so we would be there for practice and two services a week. And it was in that period that I was in youth group. Pastor Peter Vivaldi, who also has a radio show, and I still stay in touch with still to this day, taught us that church was your family. And we prayed together. We helped each other. And it was in that period that I really got to know the Lord on my own, outside of my parents, you know, telling us we're going to church on Sunday. By the way, we're going twice.
That's great. Now, your folks met in this worship band. What kind of worship did they play back then? What was the style? Would it have been contemporary?
So the youth band that they played when they were younger obviously was more traditional. When I was in my teens that we started that church in Central Florida, it was more, I guess you call it contemporary service, right? But in Spanish. And then today, as I'm a member of the United Methodist Church, I get to choose between contemporary and traditional, and I find myself leaning towards the more traditional more often. I love it because I played the piano myself. So it reminds me of the hymns that my grandparents used to sing.
That's a wonderful story, Erica. You know, how did you get involved in this business side of your life where you strike me as having a real heart for entrepreneurship?
That's a really great question to ask. So let's see. I raised four babies. And when I was 23 years old, I met my husband and he said to me, "Why aren't you doing what you went to school for?" And I said, "Well, I'm a single mom. And it's not easy to raise a son living in housing that tells you you have to make a certain amount or you're going to lose your home." So I had to strive real big and forget about my schooling. And I went into retail management. So when I met him, it was like love at first sight. So from April to August, he said, "I'm going to marry you. I'm going to support you. And I want you to do what you love." So in that period, and today, my retail store says, "Do what you love," in neon sign in the break area. And I tell people that's the basis of what you should pursue in life. If you're not doing what you love, then you need to find in your heart, you need to pray about it, to find what it is that's going to give you a greater purpose. So my first love in working was helping people make homes that are more beautiful. And my pastor once said, if God blesses you with a home that is of abundance, it's so that you can bring people together, where you can share about God, you can help people through trying times. Mm-hmm. And so for the last 13 years of my life, I've been a part of helping people transition in different parts of life as an interior designer, as an online retail store owner, as a brick and mortar store owner of a 5,000 square foot retail storefront. And we now own a real estate company called Designer Listed. And I'll never forget when I was, 28 years old was my first brick and mortar store. And I went with my father into a plaza in Seminole County called Colonial Town Park. And it was the creme of a creme for real estate. And I prayed with him on the glass door. And I said, "This is what I want." And I did a budget of what this would cost at 28 years old. And then the voice of reason came in and said, "You know what? Don't go into debt, earn it." So I started very small, less than 500 square feet. You know how small that is? The rent was not even a real contract. It was a handshake, but I guess a handshake could be looked at as a contract, but there was no paper contract. And the landlord said, "I give you my word." So I opened that storefront in faith, and just as I opened the doors in 2008, my husband lost his job.
Yeah, that's right. In the beginning of the big, you could call it the anti-boom. It just crashed, didn't it?
It certainly did. And I found myself getting a second job because I didn't want to give up on my dream, and he didn't want me to either. So I worked all the way at Disney, which is about 50 minutes away. And so I know what it's like to work really hard and to strive high to make sure that what your ultimate goal is, and that's the freedom that the United States provide. If you work real hard, you can achieve anything that you want. And so Florida Living Quarters began, and the story gets better. So within a few months, the street that I wanted to be on had a spot come open. And even though my husband was on unemployment, I took that leap of faith. Something in my heart told me, go for it. And after I had a grand opening, the first Monday of that new retail storefront, which was from 500 square feet, now I was just over 1,000 square feet.
Doubled.
I know. The first Monday, I had a walk-in, and it turned out to be a celebrity client to a, I would say, athletic organization. I'm not going to say who they are, but that first walk-in turned out to be a six-figure project.
My goodness. That is just God's blessing your new company. That's just wonderful. How did you come up with the name Florida Living Quarters?
Well, that is the era before Google was Google. And so if you wanted to be found, you had to have a title that would help you in the rankings. And so our tagline on the truck, we didn't have a company van or anything, just a pickup truck initially. And it said number one on Google. And it was because we had the name Florida into the interior design aspect of it.
Isn't it funny seeing old TV shows and things right now that would be set way before cell phones, before Google, before the internet, before computers. And you see these things and they're laughable. You can't relate to them at all anymore.
Right, right.
But you had a title that worked for you even during that season. And now you're doing this. And you talk about, basically, you've mentioned now four things, the brick and mortar store and all of that. I mean, that's just a lot for a young lady to be doing like what you're doing. And you did it with children.
I did it with children, and it was because my parents never put a limitation on what I could do. I think that the economy, our world today, if we're not careful, we could hold our children back from seeing their full potential.
Mm-hmm.
And so my parents never put that limitation on us. I come from great roots. My grandfather was a prisoner of war in Korea.
Is that right?
2 years.
And wow.
Today I think, how did he survive that? Because I was the first granddaughter, and there was a few stories that he shared with me, but he never really talked about it much. And I now know that it took the right personality, the right drive to be one of the sole survivors.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I've read stories about what people did and how they, even just the isolation of being a prisoner of war in itself was enough to cause some people to have PTSD for the rest of their lives. I would think they would have that no matter what happened. But in some cases, it was just really a horrible, horrible period where I'm sure they thought they were never going to get out alive.
He never had an active entitlement or anything. Like I said, when I think of him, my fondest memories is being at church with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he was most happy. He would kid around with people, made people laugh. He was that person. And so later on in life, when I saw medals presented to him in his honor by a former congressman, it let me know that there were a lot of people like him who never received that recognition. So I apply those principles in everything that I do. I understand that sometimes there's going to be people who don't understand why I will take risks like that. Why mm-hmm. will I put myself out there? How can you do that with four children and a husband and a business? And I served in local office as well. It's because when you're called to serve and God opens those doors, he really gives you the will, and you don't have to worry about how. You just have to commit.
So here's a question for you. You've done all of this. I knew you had been in the politics and served in a very important role in your community, but that is yet one more thing on a table that's already full of lots of activities. How do you discern what you should do? We know you've just told us that you were raised believing that there's really shouldn't be any limits to what a person can do so long as they want to do that. How do you prioritize all that?
You have great people around you, for one, because without my husband of 18 years together, that would not be possible. So we pray together. We talk about things. And when you have someone's full support, that is really the key to propel you beyond anything that the average person can comprehend. And when you kneel down like we did a few nights ago and you're in front of the bed, all those answers are put in your heart where you don't really have to talk about it. So when he lost his job, for example, I wasn't worried
mm-hmm.
because, again, you just know that everything will work out. And I think if a lot of people would turn their faith to God, and I learned from our pastor, our current pastor, through the Community United Methodist Church that not everyone can connect with God in a level where they feel comfortable talking to Jesus. And so when you do that and you put your whole faith, there's a lot of doors and answers that come to you that confirm that he's in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Miracles happen mm-hmm. all the time that you just wonder, how did that happen? And so I think that I'm able to take on a lot more because I have the right support system. And I wasn't born with a silver spoon. I wasn't privy to have generations stateside where we were established. I saw my mom and dad struggle as a mechanic and a teacher, where mm-hmm. my mother gave up part of her salary just to make ends meet in the classroom. So, but they took the time to remember that you honor God first and you make that the center of your life. And then the rest comes into place.
And I think that contentment that has been handed down to you by such great examples really goes a long way in your own life. But you really are demonstrating here really how to get an answer from God is that you ask and you believe that sometimes we're asking in that direction. We're leaning into God. And when you lean into God, you got to get a feeling for the things he's leading you to go into. So it's all aiming in the right direction.
That is correct. And having that first leap of faith is when you leave corporate America. That leap of faith is when you say, I'm going to do this, and you don't have a roadmap mm-hmm. or a book that says this is the steps that you take to do that. You really have to take this as a leap of faith, whether it's starting your own business, whether it's serving in a local politics, which I don't consider myself a politician. I consider myself a business owner that wanted to help their peers. So my first outside of my universe serving role where I wasn't a mom was a local chamber of commerce. So mm-hmm. helping other business owners, new entrepreneurs grow. And then it went into Rotary. So I'm wearing my Rotary pin here of, 11 years in Rotary. So it's kind of rare, I guess, for someone to join Rotary at 30 years old. Because what we do is a group effort. We fundraise and we give it all away.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a sense of purpose when outside of making money, if I could take that extra time that I would take watching a movie or a show to apply it towards fundraising and giving a check to kids that are needy, just like I was when I came stateside. That first Christmas was sponsored, and so I'm truly just paying it forward.
I like that. My guest today is Erica Benfield. We'll be back with her in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're in tune to The Shepherd. Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret in how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at boundlessdroneservices.com. to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing. My guest today is Erica Benfield. And you know, we heard in segment one about what happened in 08 with your family when all of a sudden your husband is laid off or maybe furloughed for a bit. And then that turns out to be kind of more of a permanent type of a deal. And those kinds of things happen to people all over the place back in 08, 09. The economy kind of crashed. Central Florida was not doing great. Many people were losing homes, etc. But you guys, God had just led you into this business. And yet now here you are. You're working two jobs kind of in the beginning to help make things, I guess you could say, make ends meet. And so tell us about, pick up about what happened with your husband then.
Sure. So if anyone's listening who potentially lost their job during this pandemic period or could potentially feel like they're going to lose their job, just know this. Everything happens for a reason. And sometimes it can help you grow closer to God. And that situation did just that. Because in the period that he was in, he was working with a company that sometimes we did things together, sometimes we didn't do things together. And when he found that he had more time, we went to church. I'll never forget, I wrote a prayer request that said, please help my children get closer to God. Help guide my husband and bring us together to serve you. And about a year later, every single thing on that list came to fruition. But it didn't feel like that. There were times where my husband said, I feel like I have no purpose. I feel like I've let you down. And I would tell him, it's going to be okay. I worked two jobs, but he also kept adding that support of stay in the field that you love, pursue being a business owner. And I'll never forget leaving corporate interior design world. I can say which company I worked for, which was Ethan Allen. And I loved that company so much. In Altamont Springs, I worked there for 5 years. That when they sold to corporate, they said you can only sell one brand. And it was my husband who was there, even though he was unemployed, and said, here, I'll hold the box. And he put the things in it. And he was on unemployment at that period.
Mm-hmm.
But you just know in your heart when you've got it, you got to go. Everything has a season. And so exactly a year later, I promoted everyone underneath me from my second job, and I never worked for another company again. And today, my husband joined our world. So he and I own Designer Listed, and it came because he was my driver at some points because my world was so busy driving around to clients. And we were at a home in Lake Forest where it was one client moving out, new client moving in. And he said, that would have been 4 real estate transactions. And I said, I'm not getting another licensure, but you can. And just like America gives these opportunities to anyone, if you apply yourself, if you want to rebrand yourself, he took the class. He struggled through it. Sometimes we couldn't talk to him for days on end. And he taught himself a new field. And he passed the state test. I remember praying over that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he learned he was struggling a little bit. Like, how do you find your world in a world full of a gazillion realtors? And he said, I'm going to take the broker's test. I said, you're going to do what?
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And now we mentor people just like him. And we have over 26 realtors under us. And we help them take that first step of faith where they're trying to go on their own into entrepreneurship. So God really is using us through that experience to understand what it's like to struggle, to not have a corporate paycheck and become an entrepreneur.
You know, what I love about your story so much, Erica, is that you had the faith before you started seeing any of the fruit. You had the vision before you really knew what steps you'd be walking in. And that really is truly faith when it's the evidence of things not yet seen. And yet now when you hear the story, I'm sure when people look at your life, when they look at where you are right now, even as a couple, where your husband is doing all these things, he went from thinking, can I become a real estate person, to now he's a broker and training other people. I'm sure when other people look at you, they think, yeah, it was easy for you. Look what you're doing. But they don't know the backstory. They don't know what it took to get to that place.
That is correct. And he added last year to challenge himself again, he learned the mortgage world as well. He said, how can I help more people get into homes by guiding them into the finance part? So now we're able to help people with the financing part as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in the business that we're in, people see us sometimes as a power couple. But the truth of the matter is every single person struggles somewhere. Some have achieved so much, maybe their fear of losing something. And in the America that we're facing today, where we did overcome a pandemic, but it's not over, we still have product shortages. We still have delays beyond anything we could ever comprehend. For example, in my retail store, we sell sofas that used to take 3 weeks to make in Florida. And now they take 5 to 6 months or more. So that same fear from the first storefront could take over our hearts, but it doesn't. It doesn't, because we know the outcome. We know God is leading us, and we know we're survivors.
Now, we know, I believe every mature believer knows we should respond like that. But yet, at the same time, even mature believers, by mature, I don't mean necessarily mature based on their spiritual state, but how long they've been a believer is what I'm talking about. They've been around a long time in church, hearing the truth and believing the truth. And yet maturity happens when we put that, what we believe and the truth of God, into the test of our lives. That's when we're really going to truly mature in our faith and can see that the Lord's going to handle these things for you. But that's, I think a lot of people are hearing this today and they're going, wow, I really need to get that. I really need to find that ability that Erica has found to believe it. And even in the face of discouragement or these other things, like you mentioned, are still going on. Supply lines are not yet what they used to be. And I know I've heard people say that inventory in just about every business is nowhere near it used to be because of COVID and how much was locked down and shut down during that time. And yet you seem to be undaunted by all of that. You're just going forward in faith.
It's just staying calm in the storm. But I do have one secret I will share with you.
Oh, please.
So in my retail plaza, which, by the way, when COVID hit, I banded us together to have 14 petitions signed to serve to one of the largest landlords in Central Florida and say, we're standing together on how we're going to get through this. And we did. Most of us made it through that shutdown. But my secret is, my next door neighbor for my business is 9 rounds. 9 rounds is boxing. So every time I get an email, and I've probably received over 20 emails of price increases, I learned, if you look at my nails, I used to be a girly girl. I used to have fake nails. I now wrap my hands. I put boxing gloves made of leather, and I get to punch bags in different directions for 9 rounds. And I will say that it really helps take off some of that frustration. So I'm not perfect by any means.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know people actually did that. I've seen people do that. But that's awesome. I've seen it on movies, I should say. But you're really punching. You're really doing the hard work of releasing that steam. Well, that's great. My guest today, if you've just tuned in, is Erica Benfield. This company you have, Florida Living Quarters, you talked about being a brick and mortar. So in addition to the stuff that we've just heard about your husband and what you guys do with this thing called Design or Listed, I believe you said?
That's correct.
Yeah. So you also have a brick and mortar store. So tell us about that.
Sure. So we're open 6 days a week. Starting to open 7 days. And when you walk into our showroom, you know that you're walking to something that's not a franchise, because you get to buy unique pieces from around the nation that are unique. So artwork, lighting, lamps, area rugs, custom made furniture. And we're the largest Hunter Douglas dealer for Central Florida. So we sell American made blind shades and shutters that are manufactured in Ohio and California. Mm-hmm. Featuring power. And so that part of our business a few years back grew about 300%. And so it's just an honor to be something that's, I guess, a unicorn, where 65% of our product line is made here in the United States of America. So the people that we employ are not only internal, so we are considered a small business in size, but we have a lot of external employees, such as installers for draperies. We have installers for wallpaper. The wallpaper is made in the United States. We also have our truckers. So my husband's from Hickory, North Carolina, and the trucking company, our number one, brings product down to us from North Carolina. So I'm writing checks all week long that help drive our economy in a small way, not compared to, you know, a large corporation. But I feel like it makes a difference. And these people that count on us for a paycheck, we've done it over and over again. Started during a shutdown, a horrible period for America. And now we're facing the same thing again. And in my heart, I feel like this is it. You know, we can do it. We can bind together. We can figure out what the problem is, and we can come together to solve this.
Now, you mentioned early on that there's a circle of people that you have in your life, a support network of sorts, and tell us how they help you during these times, like right now, when we're in this post-COVID, we hope it's post-COVID, a recovery period where some of these things may get better. Some of them are already improving, but there's still a lot of improvement that needs to get done before we're really past all of the slowdowns and all the lockdowns. How does your network of servants that are in your life that to encourage you? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, thank you. That's a really great question. And I hope that this helps connect some people too, because not everyone is privileged enough to be raised by multiple generations. So in our family, we have two generations that had children early on. So my grandparents married at 16 years old. They had my mom when they were, 18 years old. My mom had me when she was 20 years old. And I became a mom when I was 16 years old. So when you have multiple generations in your family, you have that wisdom that you can carry on. So I mentioned my grandfather being a prisoner of war early, but I have my mom's parents who struggled. So, for example, my grandfather never knew what a Christmas was. I can't get choked up sharing this. Mm. He didn't know what a Christmas was until he was 10 years old.
Mm. And that's tough. Not to have the family getting together to celebrate. Well, I think most of us take that for granted.
Well, the reason I shared that it's tough for me to share is because my great-grandmother saw him looking at kids play through the window mm-hmm. on Christmas Day, and she spanked him.
Oh, my goodness.
And I never knew that story until I was in my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's someone out there who feels that the world that we're in that has holidays and mandates of expenditures, and they don't have that, I've been there. Mm-hmm. I was a single mom who was told that I couldn't make more than $24,000 a year or I would lose my home. But that's okay. You know why? Because the multiple generations in life have taught me that with God, anything is possible. And the best gift that God ever gave us is one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't see the bigger picture, like some people sometimes look at what goal I may have that's hard for them to comprehend, just remember, the best gift God gave us is one day at a time. And you don't have to figure out how. You just have to apply yourself 100% every day. Start your day praying on your knees. I have little scriptures that I open in my closet while I'm pulling out my clothes. And it reminds me that our purpose here on earth is to show, number one, gratitude. Gratitude for being alive. To bring others to Christ and maybe help them through some of the turmoils and stories that you have. And most importantly, leave a legacy, not just for our children, but for those around us too. Because I tell my grandparents who are now at a, near 80 years old
age. You still have them.
I still have three. So the prisoner mm-hmm. of war grandpa passed away. But I still tell them life is worth living because you are teaching us how to fight. So my grandmother gave me a phone call. I'll try to make this one quick. Yesterday, that she's one of the last siblings left, right? And she's got one that they're going to amputate her second leg this week.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to figure out when to go visit her. And I honestly said to her, Grandma, you make sure you tell her that because she continues to fight, because she comes from great strength, she is teaching us all that life is worth fighting for and every moment on earth is precious.
Love that. My guest today is Erica Binfield. I know you're being encouraged and I believe stretched in a good direction by what you're hearing today, because we all need to remember that life is worth fighting for. And I think that we're living in days where a lot of people are giving in to the bad news that's out there. It seems like it's coming from every direction. But life is worth fighting for, and there's still good left, and there's plenty of God left. He has not begun to be diminished one little bit. I'll be back with Erica. We're going to talk in a moment about something that she mentioned earlier, and that is her role as a public servant. I want to find out more about that from Erica Binfield. This is Afternoons with Mike. You're on The Shepherd. Hey, we all know in business that one of the hardest things to really get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, but I'm here to tell you a little secret that will make the problem simply go away. Boundless Drone Services. They take away all the stress. Brian Fay and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Boundless Drone Services. Contact them today. BoundlessDroneServices.com. Fun discussion today with my guest, Erica Binfield. Erica owns FLQ, Florida Living Quarters, and we've already heard a lot of the details about that one. It's a lot of things that would have to do from interior design to being a brick-and-mortar store where you can get lots of things for your home. It's also a place where they are real estate and involved with real estate, and my goodness, it's just really amazing to see how busy Erica has been allowed to be by the Lord. I think he's given you lots of opportunities in your life, and it looks like you've capitalized on them all. And one thing we haven't talked a lot about, and that's what I want to get to right now, in the middle of all of this, in the middle of being an entrepreneur, a mom, a business owner, and a wife, you have added one more job description to your life, and that would be elected public service. So how did that go?
Thank you for that great introduction. So in 2016, I saw our city in not being represented in the way that I felt was in our best interest. And so in order to do something about it, I ran for office for the first time at large and won by a vast majority.
This is in DeBary.
In the city of DeBary, which is about 20 minutes from my store. So I needed a 5-bedroom home at one point in my life with 4 children. And in order to afford that, I went just outside of the area where I grew up so that I could have a 5-bedroom home for them. But in the city, we had roads that were not paved. We had development that was coming in very quickly without the right infrastructure. We had turmoil. They actually ousted the mayor that was duly elected by the people. And so I said, you know what? I this is where I need to be now. And I always thought that serving in politics is something that you do later on in life. But I took on the challenge and not only served, but within 2 years, I actually rooted out corruption in our city. Mm. I found a long-term 40-year city manager was trying to push a vote that would have cost the taxpayers about $200 a year for 20 years, and an investigative attorney was hired by the council based on my accusation, and that attorney vindicated my allegation. And that city manager is now retired. All I got was a headline from the newspaper, but now our city is run by one of its first mayors, so even though he didn't have a city manager background, he had a business background, and so I felt that putting him, anyone who's a local candidate, should be considered. If you live in the city where you serve, that should be something that's accessible to the voters. And so today we see too many times people drop in from the sky out of state and they want to run for their own accolades. And so I filed for Congress last week, to make you aware. And I did it mostly because God has put this in my heart to do the right thing and to share his glory and his mission and my Christian beliefs and values. That's simply it in a nutshell. I don't want the fame. I'd rather be the sniper on the roof to ensure that we can still pray in schools and that the America that I grew up in, that provided a platform for me to become an entrepreneur, is still available for my grandchildren.
You know, when you think about what most of us have in our mind when it comes to a person who is in politician or who is in politics and they get in the first time. Number one, we all hear the stories about somebody who runs their first time election. They run as a candidate, but they lose. You ran and you won. So start there. How did you win?
So I had to beat a former incumbent. And what that means is that there are people who just don't want to give it up. They don't want to give it up. And you can commend them for that. You know, if you're someone in the audience who served before and you still have a fight in you, I understand that. But sometimes it's time to let the next generation step up if they qualify and they want to fight. And I don't mind that match up. Mm-hmm. But what was
I'm just remembering that you're the lady that punches the bag, you know, so...
That's true. That is true.
I'm not sure I want to go gloves on with you.
That is true. So I joined the VFW, Veterans of Foreign War Auxiliary, shortly after my grandfather passed away in order to honor him. And so our dearest friends are veterans, retirees, and so I get to hear about what they overcame and what their life is like now. And it was our district commander who gave me the gave the council, actually, the suggestion of saying, you know, let's make Erica our vice mayor because of her heart, and I've seen her good work to help veterans. And that's how I became vice mayor in 2018.
So I like this. This whole issue of seeing the need and feeling compelled to get involved. And our good friend Dave Zanotti from the Public Square, who's been on my program many times, has told me over and over again that one of the things it's going to take for America to continue being America, it's going to be people just like what you were, getting involved, seeing the need, and not listening to all the naysayers, not listening to all the discouragement, looking maybe in the face at corruption, as did you. And saying, even still, this is worth the fight, and it's going to take somebody to get in there who's got some common sense and good values and make a difference. And that's exactly what you did.
And I have to thank those veterans, my family, the support, sharing those stories. So if you're a veteran, if you've served, share. Don't just keep it in your heart, because I'm reminded every time I go in there, whether it's getting my butt handed to me when they beat me on a game of cornhole or pool. But in those conversations, they give me a little bit, saying, you know, I know what it's like to hear people die. I know what it's like to do this. And I did it so that you could have the right to hear both sides of the argument when you're in office. So never forget that.
Yeah, that's an angle. That's a conversation that a lot of people are never being exposed to. And that makes a difference.
It does. It really humbles you, because it's not about the title. It's not about that. Being a public servant is truly that. It's just remembering what mission we're in to do. And that is to make sure that God is first and fairness is there, and that we have a process that's transparent, that people can trust. And our founding fathers started with, "In God we trust." Mm-hmm. And that is slowly, they're trying to erode that little by little. And I can't sit back and let those that serve, like my grandfather, women and men, have that taken away from them.
Mm-hmm. Well, they fought for it. Many gave their lives for it. And now today, a lot of this cancel culture says pull down the statues and the tributaries that were made for that. That is just wrong. But I'm grateful that there are people who are willing to get in the fray and fight for our great country. Now, you said you've just recently made another decision, and you've put your hat into the ring for yet another office. So tell us about that.
So we launched our campaign last Thursday, and I am a candidate for Congress.
For the U.S. Congress.
For the U.S. Congress. That is correct.
Wow.
And the team behind me are one of those miracles that I talked about early on, where it's beyond any comprehension that a Puerto Rican moved stateside with a suitcase who could start their first brick and mortar selling American made, could address the president of the United States like I did in October. I commanded his attention for 10 minutes and told him why his policies were great for a business like mine. And 6 months in, I see the opposite. So I filed simply because I want to make sure that a business owner mindset is up there. I want to make sure that our district and Florida is represented well by someone who has no personal interest in this. And most importantly, of course, besides putting God first, is for our children to have the same opportunities that we had in this great country. Because I still believe this country is great, even though right now, things are pretty grim. I just left a luncheon where they were giving us numbers on tourism, half how the ports are not open, and we're being attacked from the inside, honestly.
It is exactly that. It is somewhat shooting ourselves in the own foot in some situations where it is from the inside. You know, when you look at this, there's a lot of people that would say that Congress now, we're talking about Washington, D.C., is full of people that's been there, kind of like what you two were talking about. They just don't want to give it up. They don't want to. There are career politicians. We hear that phrase often. And yet here you are, wanting to be that person that is not a career politician, somebody that is basically seeing something that's not right and being willing to do something about it. What are your thoughts about a need for this kind of new life and new thoughts in D.C.?
Well, we definitely need term limits, and people talk about it, but why has it not happened? And why did we experience months and months and months of holding back aid over an election for $600 or even 120 days after the PPP to help businesses that were not open? So these are things that they need to be held accounted for. Mm. They were voting from their desks. There's rules that have been removed from the, I would say, the first week of Congress. They removed motion to reconsider. So the fairness process has been changed and tilted. And so it's time for the next generation to step up, to say no more. And that is my calling. I did it once. I had to unseat a former incumbent, and I did it for the right reasons. I had to call out a 40-year veteran in politics to tell him what you're doing is wrong, and simply because they were comfortable. And so we need to have representation that's going to do what they say when they're up there. We need to have an America that was based on the founding principles of what brought us to where we are today. Mm-hmm. Not weak, not bow down, not ignore humanitarian crisis like we have in Cuba and in the border. This is, what would Jesus do today? He would say, let my people go. Mm-hmm. Cuba, they're 90 miles from us. And we're doing nothing.
Well, not only that, but ironically, Cubans who are coming out into the streets and facing really grim potential consequences for doing so, they're coming out into the streets decrying foul against the very thing that our current leaders are trying to say we need to become like.
Exactly. Exactly. And therefore, I feel that we need to do the right thing. We need to stop letting others make those decisions. It's time to show our children that America is worth fighting for.
Wow. Okay. Enough time for this. One more thing, Erica. You've got 50 people that are your peers and who have a similar heart, and you're telling them why they should get involved with the same heart and fight and passion as you. What would you say in 1 minute?
In 1 minute, I would say to not be silent, take up space. And just as I told a dear friend of mine who's newly elected, I said, every time you walk into that room, raise your crown to Jesus. And remember that you hold that crown from Jesus to make sure that you share his message. And if you have the right heart and you apply yourself and you're studious and you want to make a difference, whether it's your local HOA, your school board, or even apply yourself in your business. In everything you do, you have an opportunity to share God's mission and his work.
Their voice means something, doesn't it?
Yes.
And it needs to be taken seriously as you've taken yours. Tell us your web address, how people can get in touch with you.
Sure. It's ericabenfieldforcongress.com. And they can visit the website. They can visit Facebook at Erica Benfield for Congress, or even our Twitter. And we'll be happy to reach out. And I look forward to getting to know many more throughout this campaign trail.
Erica Benfield, my guest today from FLQ, Florida Living Quarters, and A Heart for God. Just a real delight to have you with us here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And friends, thank you for being here as well. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.